Welcome back, rabbit holers. This week, we have a very special treat for you. A few weeks ago, the gorgeous and spooky bitches from PNW Haunts and Homicides haunted our own little studio for a fantastic and entertaining collaborative episode. Caitlin brought us the story of Fenn's Treasure, a decades-long mystery that sent thousands of treasure hunters into the depths of the Rocky Mountains. Make sure to hop on over to the PNW Haunts and Homicides feed on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And keep those ears peeled for another collaboration in a couple of weeks. Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
Now I would like to read to you the poem.
Oh, please do.
Here we go.
Can we call it a riddle? Because that's funnier.
It kind of is a riddle.
Well, yeah, if it's supposed to be like, you have to figure it out to lead you to the chest, and absolutely is a riddle.
A riddle.
Yeah. Riddle me this.
Yeah, riddle me that. The Thrill of the Chase by Forrest Fenn. As I have gone alone in there, and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secrets where, and hint of riches new and old. Hi, Cassie.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, creepy people.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, creepy people.
Who's that?
Oh, sorry. That was that creepy?
That was who's in our studio right now?
Pretty on brand, though, with the creepiness.
You can't see me, but you can hear me. You can't see me, but you can smell me.
Ew.
I'm a farty ghost. If I come back as a ghost, I'm just going to fart in people's presence.
Oh, my gosh. Is it like the rotten egg kind? Like sulfurish?
That's a demon. You're going to come back as a demon.
My farts smell amazing.
Okay.
Okay, what does an amazing fart smell like? Does it? Because it probably doesn't smell like a
roast beef, of course.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say it has to be something like, not like a flower.
Well, this is not a fart podcast. No. This is PNW Haunts and Homicides, and we do have guests with us today. We're actually in their studio, so we're kind of crashing on them. Yeah. This is Shay and Jody from Rainy Day Rabbit Holes.
Hello, listeners. I'm Shay. That was Jody.
I'm Jody.
I'm Shay.
Hello.
I'm the farty one.
Yeah. Make sure you're clear on which one is that.
Yeah. There will be a quiz at the end.
Just not currently. Okay, you guys. Yeah. I promise you.
Oh, thank goodness. It's a small space.
Yeah.
Could get real awkward. Oh my goodness.
Are we still doing tarot at the end of this?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm, okay, cool. Because we do tarot in every episode. So that works.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the whole thing about how it makes Shay cry.
Don't make me cry today.
Yeah.
We'll just do it about the story. We won't do personal tarot.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
Nailed it. All right. The story of the Fenn treasure begins with Forrest Fenn, which we love.
Spell.
It's Forrest Fenn.
Okay, I just needed the last name spelled, but thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Okay. I appreciate that, though. Now we know.
Forrest as a first name can be spelled more than one way.
That is true. Yeah.
You can do R
multiple
Forrest.
R's. So, yeah.
Is he a pirate?
R. Forrest.
He was an art dealer, author, and Vietnam War veteran who became the architect of one of the most famous modern treasure hunts in American history.
He is a pirate.
Kind of, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
A pirate.
It's a good instinct.
Treasure? Yeah. Let's go. I'm excited.
In 2010, Fenn announced that he had hidden a bronze chest filled with gold, jewels, and rare artifacts somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
But for why?
Really good question. I would like them to be more specific about the rare artifacts.
Yes. Is it a gold-plated butt plug or...
Right. These are the questions of our generation.
And where in the Rock, like somewhere in the Rocky Mountains? That's
Well, if you told you where, they wouldn't have to make a map with a little X on it.
That's true. Yeah, that would ruin all the fun. Jody,
does it have an X or actual treasure, like a picture of a treasure chest?
I don't know. You see on the map?
I mean, that would be in keeping with sort of the traditional treasure map scenario.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Feels like the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what he's going to do.
Oh,
but,
no.
Okay. Yeah. The estimated value of the contents of the chest, a super casual $1 to $2 million.
Again, leads me back to, but for why? Did he just have money falling out of his ass?
I, you know, it, it art dealer and author.
Publicity stunt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, possibly. A cryptic 24-line poem published in his memoir, The Thrill of the Chase.
Oh, boy.
Was the sole set of clues intended to lead searchers to the treasure. So this is the what, or the WTF of the story, if you will. So now I would like to read to you the poem.
Oh, please do.
Here we go. Can we call it a riddle? Because that's funnier.
It kind of is a riddle.
Well, yeah, if it's supposed to be like, you have to figure it out to lead you to the chest, then absolutely is a riddle.
A riddle.
Yeah. Riddle me this.
Yeah, riddle me that. The Thrill of the Chase by Forrest Fenn. As I have gone alone in there, and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secrets where, and hint of riches new and old. Begin it where waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put it in below the home of Brown.
So it's in his butthole.
Yeah.
No, it says below. Says below.
Okay, so are you on your belly or are you on your back?
Put it below the home.
Is this the Gooch situation?
The home of Brown.
The home of Brown.
The home of Brown. Don't start inserting holes into this.
Okay, sorry. No, we're inserting.
There's no holes being inserted.
Yeah.
Woo, okay.
All of this seemed pretty above board until I had to say it out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you have 14-year-old boys as your co-host.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It'll happen.
There's some huge tits for 14-year-old boys.
Instantly, both Shay and I were like,
ooh. I look over at her and she's already like, like, I knew it.
Okay. From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek.
Wow.
Just heavy loads and water high.
Okay.
Because this is so bad.
So you didn't hear this when you wrote it. Like when you were researching this, you didn't hear it the way we're hearing it.
No. No, because I really was reading it for like each of the stanzas. I'm going to go through kind of like a really quick summary of like what it's supposed to kind of signify. And that's where my focus was.
You're thinking treasure.
Yeah.
You're not hearing Brown.
Thinking of booty.
And loads.
And now it's over. Like we can't.
Well, and there might be a golden butt plug in it. Yeah. So, I mean, now it makes even more sense.
That, I know. It fits.
The stakes are high.
It fits in the Brown home.
The home of Brown.
Hopefully it fits real snug or almost doesn't fit. Is that what they're going for? Okay.
Oh, all right, let's keep going.
No, we're only halfway through the poem, you guys.
Oh, no.
Get it together.
Okay.
If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to cease. But tarry scant with marvel gaze. Just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answers I already know. I've done it tired, and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold.
Hmm.
Okay, so the first stanza is context, allegedly. The next four stanzas are the actual clues.
Okay.
So
we got where water stop.
The Brown stuff.
Home of the Brown.
Yeah, you guys are in trouble.
there was something about a crevasse.
Crevasse?
A canyon.
Oh, a canyon. Yeah, okay. All right. The final stanza is confirmation/instructions. Okay.
Yeah. Listen, why do you have to carefully take it? Get out so fast.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Stanza one is context, but not direction. This opening isn't part of the physical route. It sets the stage. Ben went alone, kept a secret, and hinted at something both new and old. He had something borrowed and something glued.
I was about to say, like a marriage.
Got married.
Okay. Stanza two. clues number 1 through 4-ish, the starting point. Names the home of Brown. Likely a key landmark, but he doesn't identify it specifically.
Most people avoid it. Some go for it.
Yeah. You guys are going to feel like such assholes.
<Ba-dum-bum>.
The leading theory is that Brown equals brown trout.
Oh, okay. That okay. makes sense.
Idiot.
I was like, dirt? Is this dirt?
See where your brain goes.
Right. You hooligans. Brown trout are heavily stocked in Rocky Mountain rivers. Fish habitats are mapped and consistent.
Mm.
Okay. Home of brown equals where brown trout live.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing to do with buttholes so far.
I don't know. Okay. I feel like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So the clue became an instructional guide. Go to a river or canyon and find a known brown trout area.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Stanza 3, clues 5 to 7, into the wild. The terrain becomes more rugged. You'll encounter a creek you can't paddle that presents increasing physical challenges like elevation or rough water. Stanza 4, clues 8 through 9, the final spot. Look down nearby to locate the treasure. Don't linger, retrieve it, and get the fuck out. It said leave.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
But for why? It's in a bear den.
Oh.
That's a pretty good guess. They like those fishies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Stanza 5 is motivation. Ben reflects on his reasons. Legacy, mortality, and the desire to inspire adventure. Stanza 6, final instructions / conditions. The location is cold, wooded, and requires some bravery.
Mm.
The finder earns rightful ownership of the treasure.
If they survive the bear attack. And the loads from the bear. I mean, I don't know what the load. Where are the loads?
Oh, man. Ben claimed that his motivations were multifaceted. He reportedly wanted to inspire people to explore nature, rekindle a sense of adventure, and step away from the increasingly digital world. A worthy cause, no doubt. As a cancer survivor, I think the other motivation that he cited must have been particularly important to him. He also expressed a desire to create a legacy, something enduring that would challenge and excite generations. So now we've got our why.
Okay.
It did sound like it. Why, yeah. At the end, it said it sounded like he was sick or something.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, he had already like survived, but I think it just, you know, it's kind of almost like not exactly like a near-death experience, but sort of like, wow, this life-changing event has put things in perspective for me.
Gotta do something.
Yeah, create something for, he's like, other people, you need to get out there. You need to live. You need to have adventure. Your life is too short to spend attached to Netflix or whatever. Go search for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We aren't to the end yet.
Yeah. But what about the where? Because I know Jody wants to know.
I have to know.
I think we all want to know.
I'm pretty sure it's in a bear den.
Well, according to Fenn, the treasure was hidden somewhere north of Santa Fe at an elevation above 5,000 feet, but below the peaks of the Rocky Mountains. He insisted that it was not buried.
Okay.
But rather concealed in a location accessible to a determined searcher.
So was it one of those like big fake rocks that you would put a key under, but it was really big? Or like the one you put your like water meter under or whatever?
Could have been.
So maybe it's a fake bear den.
Yeah.
And he set up.
With an animatronic bear.
I'm really going hard on that.
I mean, in Japan, they have animatronic wolves to scare off other wolves. So
that's smart.
An animatronic bear.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like this.
Why not?
So, I mean, now you guys, you've got everything you need to go and find this bad
boy. We're doing
boy.
It. Come on, yeah. Jody,
how hard could it be? Almost.
I have a bear bell, so we can do this.
Oh, yeah. From Japan.
Does it attract?
No.
Scare them away.
It scares them away.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Almost immediately, the hunt captured public imagination. Thousands of people from across the United States and eventually the world began attempting to decipher the poem. Online forums, blogs, and communities sprang up.
I'm sure.
And boy, are some of them unhinged.
Were you on Reddit?
Oh, yeah. 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 I found a couple of different blog sources, but Reddit, there's, I believe, actually multiple subreddits that were dedicated to it.
I love Reddit for commentary.
Oh, it's great. Adds a real something. It's a lot of something. Flavor.
And it could be new rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also kind of ironic because he wanted people to get off.
Right.
Right. That is, yeah.
Very call there.
Yep. So all of these communities sprang up dedicated to interpreting each line and mapping possible locations. Mm. Some believed the clues pointed to specific landmarks such as rivers, canyons, or historical sites, while while others thought the poem required abstract or symbolic interpretation. Mm. And I think that a poem that serves as the map to a literal treasure hunt, probably seeks to strike a balance between the two, I'd argue.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it can't all be like left at the, you know, Starbucks.
Well, then there'd be no fun with that. Yeah.
Right.
There's no challenge to that.
There's got
to
be a little bit of like metaphor or something in there, you know? From the outset, there were skeptics. Some questioned whether the treasure even existed, while others criticized the ambiguity of the clues, which seems like a skill issue.
And mm-hmm. they're just not smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah. Which, I mean, granted, it is, you know, it wouldn't be an easy puzzle to solve.
Well, a treasure worth a million design. Something dollars.
Right.
Yeah. You're not going to be like, okay, and
go left, go right. Board.
Yeah. Like, so like within 15 minutes of this being released, somebody's out there and found it and be like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Despite this, the hunt continued to gain momentum, evolving into a cultural phenomenon that blurred the line between puzzle solving and obsession.
That is a theme in all any
subreddit.
Well, no, like seeking out, like for instance, Bigfoot hunters, like they become so into it that they forget they have families and jobs and
becomes their entire personality.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of like podcasters.
Yeah.
And that's what we do now. It's our personality.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, could be worse.
Yeah, that's
could
true.
Could be worse.
We could be a-hole.
Yeah.
We could be right-winger podcasters making it our whole personality and that'd be worse.
I was going to
Then we would get a job.
Well, yeah, that's true. Then we'd get paid.
And then we could take jets wherever we go.
The FBI's jet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
We get steak and lobster.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Hence that.
We are doing it wrong.
Fenn maintained that anyone with determination and cleverness could find the treasure. He also released occasional hints and statements over the years, though these often deepen the mystery rather than clarifying it, which is annoying as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like an Alice in Wonderland vibe. Like, did you give me any actual information?
Yeah.
The combination of tangible reward, intellectual challenge, and romantic adventure proved irresistible to many.
Mm.
As the years passed, the search for the Fenn treasure intensified. Estimates suggest that more than 300,000 people participated
Holy
in the hunt.
Cow.
Wow.
At some point. Just kind
That's
of
a lot.
Lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Them Rockies be packed.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully it's like Yoshida's damaged gold.
The trails.
I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we might get
to
that. We might get to that.
I'm just predicting your story. Yeah. I already know it's a bear. Okay, tell me after the break. Okay. All right. Now I'm ready.
Okay.
Had a break.
Searchers, often referred to as Fenn seekers,
came
from all walks of life, including retirees, students, engineers, and outdoor enthusiasts. Many invested significant time and money into their quests, traveling repeatedly to remote areas in hopes of solving the poem.
Hmm. The riddle. It's like crazy geocachers.
Yes. Exactly.
I have a friend that travels the world doing geocaching.
Wow.
Like, that's dedication.
It truly.
Or obsession?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Part of her personality.
Well, we did say it would blur the lines. The hunt fostered a strong sense of community among participants. Online discussion boards, Reddit, and social media groups became hubs for collaboration and debate. Some searchers shared detailed theories, maps, and even step-by-step interpretations of the poem.
But why would you do that?
Well, okay, so sorry. She's the other camp, while others guarded their ideas closely. Yeah. Fearing that revealing too much could cost them the prize.
Yeah, if you've spent all this time and effort, why would you then be like, look, everybody, I think I solved it. Yeah. Don't get there before me.
Well, that's what you put out there when you want to put people on the wrong track.
That's true. You say it's actually in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by virtue of it being in the Rockies, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could just put somebody off just by putting them on the wrong creek or whatever.
Yeah,
it doesn't even have to be.
The wrong bear den.
Yeah, exactly. Despite the camaraderie, the hunt also had a darker side.
Oh, I'm sure. Black bear.
Murder.
The ambiguity of the clues led some individuals into dangerous terrain, including steep cliffs, rushing rivers, and remote wilderness areas. Tragically, at least 5 people lost their lives while searching for the treasure.
Oh, wow. No.
These deaths prompted calls from law enforcement and families of victims to end the hunt.
Oof, yeah.
Authorities in states like New Mexico and Colorado urged Fenn to call it off, citing the risks involved. Fenn, however, maintained that the treasure was hidden in a location that did not require dangerous climbing or extreme risk.
So stop doing that.
Yeah. So don't do that, he said.
He's like, I can't be responsible for other people's stupidity.
Right. Does he not find a bear den dangerous?
The million-dollar question, my love. He emphasized that those who ventured into hazardous areas were misinterpreting the clues. Nevertheless, critics argued that the very nature of the hunt encouraged risky behavior, especially among those convinced they were close to solving it.
Yeah.
Like, what if two of them show up together and one of them's got a gun?
Right. I mean, or additionally, there were incidents of illegal digging and trespassing, including a notable case in which a treasure seeker damaged protected land in Yellowstone National Park while searching.
They're going to be cursed.
Yeah.
Same idiot that probably goes to try and pet a buffalo.
Yeah. It's kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
The hunt had broader cultural implications as well. It reignited interest in treasure hunting as a hobby and inspired similar hunts around the world. It also highlighted the power of storytelling and mystery in the digital age, demonstrating how a single poem could mobilize hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you've made it this far, I have kind of good news, bad news situation for you. In June 2020.
Yeah, no, I know what was happening then.
Mm-hmm, okay. Just making sure we're all on the same page.
It was safer to be outdoors.
Yeah. There
if
was
you were
that.
Gonna go
there
was do a lot of forest stuff. Fires, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Yeah, that was that bad year.
I got evacuated here.
Oh. Yeah. You know, I don't know if there was in Yellowstone specifically.
Hmm.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to look at. In June 2020, after a decade of speculation and searching, Forrest Fenn announced that the treasure had finally been found.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. All it took was a little pandemic. You know, people
nobody had
a lot,
to go to work
a lot of free time.
That makes sense.
Yep. The discovery was made by an unnamed individual who chose to remain anonymous at the time.
I think that should have been a stipulation. You're not going to be able to.
Right. Well,
kind of like certain states and the lottery.
You have to. Exactly. Yeah. Which actually I'm in support of. If you win the lottery, I would want to win it in a state where they let you remain anonymous.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because I don't want my family to know.
No.
There's so many people. I mean, there's actually a very famous case of a guy who was murdered after winning the lottery. And it's not a good situation.
Yeah. You don't want to tell anybody.
No.
But there will be signs.
Yeah. But there will be signs. Yeah.
They'll be hard to see because I'll stop caring about money and I'll buy whatever I want. And then you'll just think it's just a normal day. Then I have to go work more hours. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That'll be the part. It's different.
Ben confirmed that the finder had sent him photographic evidence of the chest and its contents, verifying its authenticity.
Oh, so okay. It's real. Okay.
Yeah, it's real.
Let's see you using that golden butt plug.
Yeah. Pigs or it didn't happen.
You have to know what this is used for if you want it.
It's just some sort of paperweight.
Yeah, it was my grandpa's.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The announcement brought an abrupt end to the hunt, but did not provide closure for many of its participants. The lack of details about the location and the identity of the finder fueled skepticism and frustration. Oh,
like he just called it quits after so many years of he just called it an end on. We didn't know where it was. Like they never disclosed where they found it.
Well, we're going to get
like where was the bear den? That's what I'm asking.
Of course. I'm going to tell you a little bit.
I predict there was no treasure.
I was about to say. It was like from the beginning, I was like, this is a hoax, right? This has got to be a hoax.
Does not seem to be.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know. Remain open minded. Okay.
I will try my best.
Some searchers refused to believe that the treasure had truly been found, while others demanded transparency. Later that year, the finder was revealed to be Jack Stoof or Stuff. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Sorry, Jack. A medical student and former journalist from Michigan. Stoof and Stuff.
It sounds German. Is he German? Right?
Eventually shared that he had spent years analyzing the poem and had identified a location in Wyoming's wilderness. However, he chose not to disclose the exact spot, citing concerns about environmental damage and the potential for overcrowding. He's like,
smart.
Y'all were kind of assholes while you thought the money was still available.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of people just like treating the wilderness like they do their own homes, throwing trash on the floor, which I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
But who would need to go there if it's not there?
Well, it's like a photo op.
I guess just to see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. That's the fake rock it was under.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bear den. And there are theories about like a more precise location, but we don't know exactly where it was discovered. So could be a bear den.
So we still don't even know that. I'm pretty sure it was a bear den.
Yeah, it's a bear den.
I believe you. If it was, it's probably a fake bear den with fake treasure. But
Stoof and Stuff's revelation did little to quell controversy. Many searchers felt that the secrecy undermined the spirit of the hunt, which they believed should have culminated in a clear and verifiable solution. Others questioned whether the clues in the poems were sufficiently precise to lead to a single location, suggesting that the hunt may have relied more on persistence and luck than pure logic, which I feel like is pretty valid.
It was fairly broad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Ben himself passed away in September 2020.
Oh, just minutes later.
Right? Just a few months after the treasure was found.
I was about to say, he was just waiting for somebody to find it so he could croak.
Aww. Yeah. Yeah. And I chose not to pull at this thread. So I didn't put it in my notes, but I saw some things that it may be that he had died by his own hand.
Oh, no.
Which, if that's it, I was like, I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
If that's the case, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, no, he really was just holding on for someone to find out. Damn.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad.
And then it's Fluff and Stuff. Yeah. Or, no, what was his name?
Stoof and Stuff.
Stoof and Stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Went and found it.
I know. Bet you feel like kind of an asshole.
Yeah, right?
Now.
I would.
Yeah.
Except for not too
not
bad because it's $1.something million and get over it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and if it was worth $1.something million when he put it in like 2010 and 2020, it was worth, you know, probably 50% more.
Its highest valuation, from what I understand, was approximately $2 million.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, over the course of roughly 10 years, it sounds like probably doubled its valuation. Wow. Just super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. His death marked the end of an era and further complicated efforts to fully understand the hunt. Without Fenn to provide definitive answers, many questions about the poem and its intended interpretation remain unresolved. In the aftermath, the long-awaited treasure chest and its contents were sold. The chest, once a symbol of mystery and adventure, became a collectible artifact tied to a unique moment in modern folklore. The legacy of the Fenn treasure hunt is complex and multifaceted. On one hand, it succeeded in achieving many of Fenn's stated goals. It inspired countless people to explore the outdoors, engage in critical thinking, and embrace a sense of adventure. Get the fuck outside.
Yeah, touch grass.
For many participants, the journey itself, rather than the treasure, was the most rewarding aspect of the experience, which sounds like something that, you know, second, third, and fourth place.
Did you have fun camping, folks?
Sounds like a loser. I mean,
because that gets you to Yellowstone. That gets you
to Yellowstone. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Honestly, if Yellowstone doesn't just get you to Yellowstone, then, you know, go fuck yourself. But
that's true.
Nature is the treasure.
Yes. The hunt also became a significant cultural phenomenon, spawning books, documentaries, podcasts, and online communities. It demonstrated the enduring appeal of treasure hunts and the human fascination with hidden wealth and unsolved mysteries. The story has since been revisited in various media, including television adaptations that explore both the excitement and the controversies surrounding the hunt. At the same time, the darker aspects of the hunt cannot be ignored. I mean, you could, but then you'd just be an asshole. The deaths of several searchers, along with instances of illegal activity and environmental damage, highlight the risks associated with such endeavors.
You just can't trust the public.
No. It's Dick Road. Don't be a dick.
They're always going to be.
Dicks are going to dick.
Yeah, dicks be dicking. You know, they're just dicking around. Critics argue that the hunt lacked sufficient safeguards and that Fenn underestimated the lengths to which people would go in pursuit of the treasure, which is
very
like, well, yeah, that's true. I was kind of surprised that law enforcement didn't like kind of take firmer action on the situation, but I guess I don't know what else
or,
they do.
Or like the forest rangers, the people that have to go out and rescue people when this is happening or manage the area that you've traipsed on and ruined. And have to come clean that up. You'd think that they would have put a stop to it.
I say that, but then I'm like, how though? How did they do that?
Yeah, and it's like, what are you gonna? Well, you could get Fenn to come out and say maybe a little more guidelines, or
or if you're caught, like Fenn that was really his bag.
he really liked the riddle,
the drama.
The unresolved nature of the poem continues to intrigue and frustrate enthusiasts. Even after the treasure's discovery, debates persist about the correct interpretation of the clues, which seems like, get a life, nerd.
Yeah, it's over.
No, I mean, I think it's still interesting, but yeah, it's kind of like, hey, guys, they found the treasure, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Move on.
Yeah, it might be time to move on.
Yeah.
Some believe that multiple solutions were possible. Factually, I feel as though that may be inaccurate because I think there was only one treasure chest.
Yeah, it was in, if it was in one place, there's only one solution.
I think just the one, but what do I know? While others argue that the poem was intentionally designed to be ambiguous. Which, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah. In a broader sense, the Fenn treasure reflects the power of narrative in shaping human behavior. A single story combined with a tangible reward was enough to mobilize a vast and diverse community.
A lot of people.
It also underscores the role of the internet in amplifying such phenomena. I love that word. Enabling collaboration, speculation, and obsession on a global scale. Seems super healthy. I don't think that that will become problematic at any point.
No.
Ultimately, the Fenn treasure hunt stands as a modern legend, part adventure, part cautionary tale. It captured the imagination of a generation and left behind a legacy that continues to be debated and analyzed. Whether viewed as a brilliant act of inspiration or a controversial experiment, it remains one of the most remarkable treasure hunts in history. And the story still attracts renewed interest, especially with the release of the Netflix documentary series.
Oh.
Gold and Greed, The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure.
Oh, I will have to keep my eye out.
Is it out?
So it's out now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I meant to look and see because it sounded like it was a more recent doc, which it would have to be, right? Because it's all about the hunt and it was discovered in 2020.
Yeah.
I don't know this for sure, but I think that I remember seeing something about it coming out in like 2025, which seems like, why did it take you 5 years to make it? But whatever, you know. So.
Gold and Greed, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure.
Because we also watched a good documentary on Netflix.
Oh my God, I can't remember what that was called.
Death and Murder in Monaco or something.
Murder in Monaco. Oh my God, that was so good.
At first
we were like, we love her. And then by the end we were like, she's problematic.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. You don't know what lady I'm talking about.
You don't
about.
Even know a lady.
No, but once I know, I'll probably know.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Oh, it's definitely out. Golden Greed, The Hunt for Fenn's Treasure it's been out since 2025. There's three episodes.
2025.
Three episodes. Okay. We'll have to watch this. These characters look a little, but it's going to be interesting. Yeah. It'll be good.
I might have to get Netflix now.
All right, are we doing some tarot? Oh, I can't wait. I love tarot. Ooh, Pacific Northwest tarot.
Nice.
I wonder what we're going to get.
A bear?
Edition there.
What if we get a bear,
are
guys?
Are these brand new? They look brand new.
No.
They're pretty.
We use them all the time.
Very good shape.
They're pretty.
I take
them.
Such good care of them. And they've just gotten lucky because whenever we've accidentally spilled wine on the desk, they have not been in striking distance.
They scoot away.
Yeah.
Because they're blessed. Yeah, you blessed them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here you go.
I haven't touched these in so long.
I know.
Hey, how are you? I missed you.
My hands are sweaty. Who wants to touch them next?
Just tell me, like, in like what vicinity are you feeling?
Closer to the
vibe?
Middle. Closer to the middle. Right where you're. Your pointer finger is. Your index finger. Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not a bear. Damn it.
Is it
not a bear?
A bear.
Damn,
if it was
not
a bear. A bear in the den.
It is a very, like, very sparkly salamanders or something. It's eight of cups. Oops. That was dumb.
I love your cards. They're just beautiful.
They're really pretty.
Those look like it could be treasure.
Well, I was about to say, these are golden cups. Yeah. So these treasure. And if you're out in the desert, if that was a Gila monster.
It isn't like in a river or something. It looks like some water.
Well, one of you guys just Google, did Forrest Fenn die by suicide?
Yeah. Do we have to know? Is it in the card?
Uh-oh.
That is interesting.
No, Forrest Fenn did not die by suicide.
Okay.
The author and art dealer died by natural causes at his home in Santa Fe, New Mexico, September 7th, 2020, at the age of 90.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. That's good.
He died of old.
I was like, damn, that would
TMB.
Be so...
That's too many birthdays.
I just, part of me was like, this could be really important to the story. Like, I should look into whether or not he died by suicide. But part of me was like, he was a cancer survivor. It's just too sad to think about.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
After his treasure is discovered, then it's like, oh, it put him over the edge and he died by suicide.
Well, I was thinking, maybe if it came back is what I was thinking, if his cancer came back or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That was my thought, too.
Yeah, true.
Ain't
true.
Doing that again.
Yeah,
that's what would go through my head, some of these.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm good.
Which is very sad, but it happens a lot.
Okay. Eight of Cups. Our keywords are turning away, cutting losses, decline, dejection, and seriousness.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This card often pictures a person with his or her back to us, walking away. Sometimes a waning moon overhead symbolizes decrease. When the Eight of Cups appears, a situation has become untenable and you have decided to turn your back on it.
Like leaving a treasure and walking away, letting other people find it.
Or like finally giving up on the hoax.
By well, maybe
making up somebody finding your treasure.
Ooh. My God, Shay, I need you to believe in something.
Right?
Now you must strike out in another direction. I feel like this could almost be symbolic of the people that were following.
True,
it,
yeah.
You know?
Searching.
Okay, so our interpretation says you wish things had turned out differently, but you can't salvage a matter and you realize you must abandon it. Abandon it. It's time to let go and get out of the situation that has failed despite your best efforts. Move ahead with determination, find a new direction, and learn from your experience.
I mean, I guess I could be a treasure hunter being for like, sure. All right, I've been out here for 3 weeks. That's haven't found I'm it. Saying. I'm going to go home for a while. And
this whole find time, though, what's popped in my head is our conversation we had before we even recorded about our podcast.
Oh, I was like, what did we talk about?
Yeah.
So long ago.
Find a new direction. Yeah. Yeah. From your experience. Right?
It's not what I don't you know. Thought it was going
to
be.
Is it a message?
Does it make it bad?
Works better, hey, not harder.
Cards. We said this is not a personal reading.
Yeah. Get out of my face.
Cards do what cards do.
Yeah,
they do.
In a reading about money, an investment hasn't paid off or you've lost money through no fault of your own, except perhaps not seeing things accurately.
Mm-hmm. Not reading the riddle right.
Right.
Didn't get to the bear den. The right bear den.
That's right. They went to the wrong one. Cut your losses and conserve your resources. If the reading is about your job, the Eight of Cups may recommend pouring your heart and soul into an endeavor. Don't let distractions throw you off course. Sometimes this card advises leaving a job that no longer interests you. In a reading about love, this card can mean ending a relationship that's lost its spark. Conversely, it may show you getting serious about a partnership, giving it your all. You're no longer interested in casual flings. Mm-hmm. And there's an extra excerpt. Whoa, that's interesting.
What it is, what it is.
What it is. When you most feel like holding on to something, it is usually the best time to let go. And that is from A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah.
So maybe, you know.
I feel like the cards were picking up a vibe from the episode and maybe some other things.
Interesting.
Okay, should I read this little poem? Yes. It's a poem.
It's your poem.
Oh, how it goes with it.
Actually, I don't know if it's a poem. I just like to call them poems. They're little.
I mean,
cute
they do kind of read like little poems.
Those are northern alligator lizards, by the way.
Ooh.
Oh.
The keywords are walking away, abandonment, disappointment, leaving something behind, and moving on. So very similar to what was in the book. The alligator lizard shed her past self like a ghost behind her.
Ooh.
That skin had served her well. It had gotten her through plenty of scrapes and taken quite a few in the process. It had camouflaged her against the forest floor, protecting her from sharp-eyed hawks. It had insulated her as she basked on the sun-dappled stones. But now it felt tight. It felt restrictive. She itched to be rid of it. She had outgrown it, and so she stepped out of it, cast it aside. It no longer served her. She moved on. More vulnerable to the thorns and needles around her, but no longer constrained by who she used to be.
Mm. Interesting.
That was a collective. So is that her? That's her skin left behind. Okay. In the car.
Oh, got
this
it.
This has a very Southwest vibe to it in a way.
Yeah, it does.
And it's interesting because he lived in Santa Fe.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like him shedding his treasure and like leaving it behind for someone else to find while he moved on.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Yeah.
Or maybe four podcasters that need to shed their
the way they're doing things.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Any other thoughts?
Oh, it's a good story.
It was a good story.
Yeah.
It was a great story. And I love the tarot piece. I love it.
It's always
we
fun.
Do too.
Have a creepy-ass day
and
see you down the rabbit hole.
My ears suffocate during
Jody, air those suckers out.
Little fans.
Yeah.
Dwilly, you know you don't breathe through your ears. I don't know if you know this. The skin does.
Maybe you don't.
Skin breathes. I know you're a healthcare professional at all. Yes.
So I can confirm skin breathes. And yeah. It is not breathing.
She's got to get the airflow between the ears. Because, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah. Yeah.
The air just goes
maybe
through.
Maybe that's the problem is mm-hmm. I've got too much in there blocking the flow.
Yeah.
That's wait, are you saying that
there's only air in between? That's what I was getting.
No, I imagine that the two headphones on is keeping the air from moving directly through her head because there's nothing in there. That
yep, that's exactly. I was like, is this going to roll over everyone's head? That's fine. I don't need to point
and
it
Jody
out.
And Jody said, no, I'm coming up with a totally alternate answer.
I have
answer.
The other answer, which yeah. is there's too much brain.
She was like,
smashing
I'm actually...
it out her. Well, then you should be happy to have them on to keep it from leaking out.
Brainal leakage.
Brainal leakage.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.